we continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes on this series of messages, Remember Now Thy Creator. Understanding Riches, Part 3, is our meditation for tonight, taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. We want us to ponder this thought, that the fruit of honest labor is God's gift, these three verses, for your enjoyment, for your comfort, for your enjoyment in verses 18 to 19, and for your comfort in verse 20. You notice that the first two verses are given parallel thoughts, put in different ways, but it gives a similar meaning. We shall see the emphasis as we go along. We began chapter 5, you recall, with the call to the worship of the living and true God. For four chapters, we spoke concerning the futility, the fruitlessness of life without God. This life which Solomon described as under the sun. And then he began in chapter 5 to tell us that there is a way of blessing that man enjoys, and it begins with the worship of God. This blessed exercise of the soul above all else brings vitality and strength to the human soul. It is the beginning of wisdom and the means appointed by God by which God would bless man. So as he worships God, God imparts to him heavenly wisdom for life's journey. And Solomon's admonition is that we be not rash in hastening along life's pathway till we have received proper bearing for the journey. We all know concerning some aspect of topography. If you are 1 degree off the bearing, when you begin that journey, you may not notice the difference. But as you move along, the further you walk, the further you move, the more stuck will be the gap that tells you that you are off bearing. And the further you walk, the further you are, you will be from your desired destination. And so Solomon is telling us to take time, to take time to find spiritual orientation and bearing before setting off. And he brings us hereafter, after he has told us that we must begin in the house of God, in the worship of God, with the people of God. You know that the church, the Bible says to us through the Apostle Paul, is the pillar of truth. It is the only place in the world where you can learn the truth, because it is entrusted to his church, the oracles of God. And so he tells us, as he goes along the chapter, that many have begun the journey on the wrong footing. And he emphasizes that wrong footing as the pursuit of riches and materialism. And he tells us from the way he phrased it that it is the number one snare to the human soul. And we know it. Our conscience tells us as we look around us in the world that we live in, how materialism dulls the soul. You are so comfortable with the pleasures of this life that you forgot that you're not going to live forever here on earth. And so the Lord wants us to think, and Solomon tells us very clearly from what we have studied concerning the truth that man who loves money above their God, loves put money above the living and true God, has embarked on an evil way. And the Apostle Paul says, while some coveted after, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So it is a road, a painful road, right? A painful road that you would see the misery of following after the things of this world. And he categorically lists them for us. Why? Explaining to us point by point, and he gave to us seven snares of material things. And he wants us to be aware. He tells us of its oppressive tendencies, of its limited satisfaction, that it is a sleep robber, and it hurt its owners, and that riches has wings, and how it is so temporal, and how oftentimes it is utilized in sorrow, sickness, and anger. And so, having analyzed for us the snare of riches, pursued as an idol by the people in this world, he tells us that material things, in truth, is legitimately given by God for the enjoyment and comfort of men. It is not totally useless, but he tells us that when a man would endeavor to do honest work, the fruit of his labor is God's gift and blessing. So he tells us that if we were to engage in honest labor, then the fruit of it is for our enjoyment, for our comfort. And he speaks it in the last three verses for us. And we want us to contrast, do a contrast between what you see in verse 8 to 17 and what God wants you to see from verses 18 to 20. And so he tells us the thought that we want us to see is the fruit of honest labor. And all above, he tells us about dishonest labor. How there is that this oppressive tendencies that is in the mindset of the people of the world. So if you're an employer, and if you have done anything that would rob your employee of their means, of what their deserved wages, then the fruit of what you have received is not honest labor. And be sure that God will deal with you. And so he wants us to make that contrast in order that we may be able to see and understand the context of what constitute this gift, this honest labor from God. And so he urges, verse 18 and 19, his readers to open their eyes wide and see. And that's the meaning of the word behold. Behold, verse 18 says, that which I have seen. So he's telling us to open our eyes wide. Observe with understanding the world that is around you. And he tells us now, having said to us in many verses, what are the snares of materialism, he tells us now to see, look with understanding. In view of what he has said earlier, for he is now giving to you a heavenly perspective to view the material things of this life. So he tells us that the God, the living and true God, is the one that gives man his portion. And that's what verse 18 says. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely. The word comely means beautiful. Of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So he is telling us that in order to enjoy the things that we have, we must realize or see it, that these things that God, that is given to us, is from God. He wants us to trace the source of our blessing to the living and true God. And so the term there, God, is very interesting. It is always with the definite article in the original. The God. Ha Elohim. And every time it is used since the beginning of the description of God in the book of Genesis, it is always referred to as the God, the living and true God, the Creator, the one who makes all things, the one who gives us all things to enjoy. You have to know Him, not any other God. The one who manifests Himself in the fullness of time, in the person of His Son. Ah, that is important. We were studying the Apostle Paul's conversion. He had been studying the Old Testament scripture. He's well acquainted that Israel, God will send a Messiah. But he did not know who that Messiah is until Jesus had to appear to him and to arrest him and to show him who the living and true God is. So the Lord wants us to have that perspective in mind, that not any other God, but the one true God, you must know. So whatever that portion may be, it is God's blessing for your enjoyment. And so Solomon is telling us that material wealth is not all bad. In fact, material wealth itself is not bad. There's nothing evil with it. It's how men regarded it that makes it evil. When men would treat it as an idol, that's evil. When men shift their acknowledgement of the source of their blessing to themselves, right? I'm the one who labored, and therefore I'm the one who, you know, get me this wealth. That's where he trips and he falls. So Solomon is telling us that as long as we know that God is the one, the living and true God is the one who gives us this, that's the beginning of wisdom. Okay. So the wages that we receive for our honest labor is for our enjoyment. And so whatever that you would receive is your portion or your lot, that which God has allotted to you for your use. Okay. As we said, money is so much a part of our daily life because of the advent of the use of money. We are able to man is blessed with the opportunity to have goods distributed to them without having to what men in the olden times do, barter trade. If you barter trade, then you'll find that, you know, it's difficult for you to exchange because you need to have something to exchange. But if the other person doesn't want what you have, you can't exchange. Okay. But money is a neutral medium whereby you are able to exchange it without having to hold anything with you. So this is a blessing from God. So money itself is not evil. And there is satisfaction that is derived from its use. So Solomon tells us that it is good and comely, it is literally good and beautiful to see men use the fruit of their labor to eat and drink. And it's a picture of the contented man that, you know, God gives to you that appetite to eat that meal, whatever it may be, the fruit of your labor. And indeed, we labor, and whatever will be the increase comes from God. You can put in your effort, but the result of that work that you put in, only God can bless it, multiply it. And so the Lord wants us to learn. Okay. Solomon tells us that we are to be thankful for all that God has given us to enjoy. Having food and raiment, let us therewith, or let us be therewith content. Enjoy the food that your taste buds so desire from the wages that you have received from your work. This is God's gift for you. Enjoy it. It is God who has given to you that portion. Verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So, whatever that he gives to you, your allotment, is from God. And we are to understand and see a heavenly perspective to our daily manner. There's an old saying that goes, how some people get out of life, they are always in a hurry. How they are in a hurry, and how they are always worrying, and you know, they would do all this mundane things of life in a mad rush, one after another, at a maddening pace, and missing out the God-given pleasures of life. And this is oftentimes the snare of the world that we live in. Somehow we are pursuing after that invisible pie, and we forgot about the pie that is in front of us for us to eat and enjoy. We don't enjoy it. Somehow we are just so caught up for students. They are fearful. Fearful of what the result will be. And even though they may labor, they can't enjoy their labor or, you know, the going ons of life, trusting God. But is anxious. What will the result be? What if it's no good? What will I do? And so, you notice that the world around us, you see people rushing on, worrying, hurrying, and there seems to be no end. And you see people breaking down, hurry too much, suddenly something burst. And that's it, that's the end of a person's life. There's always that mad rush and that dissatisfaction with life itself and the fruit of your life's work. Somehow there is not that willingness to just calm down and see what is here, given, and enjoyed it. As you think about what Solomon is saying here in verse 18 and 19, if you were to read the laws that God has given to Moses, now this law is Solomon's basis for teaching us how we can live life above the sun. And if you glean from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7, you'll be able to see where Solomon has derived his teaching. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hands unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Deuteronomy 12:7 and 12:18. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in a place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levites that is within thy gate, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord in all that thou puttest thy hands unto. And so God wants us to enjoy. What is it that he wants us to enjoy? Enjoy his presence with us. You see? To enjoy his blessing for us. If you enjoy his presence with you, knowing that, you know, all that you have comes from him, then you have that sense of understanding. In all the labors of their hands, what they got thereby, which they were cheerfully to enjoy, they are to do so with thanksgiving to God. That God is the one who gave it to them. And we are taught this when our Lord was upon earth, in the Lord's Prayer. You recall? Give us this day our daily bread. And you recall when we were studying the Lord's Prayer, the precepts of prayer during our prayer meeting, we said the first three aspects of the Lord's Prayer, we said, is summed up by the first part of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are instructed to direct our attention to God the Father. We are to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. And the second part of it all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things that shall be added unto you? Remember the Lord's Prayer? And we said this, three things that God would give to us. First thing, our provision. And that's the focus, first focus that God gives for us. His present care for us. Give us this day our daily bread, focusing on our God's care for our present. He knows that we are a worrisome people. We are worried about where the next meal will come from. And therefore, He tells us this is the first thing that He will do for us. He will provide for you your daily bread. And for our pardon. And forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors, focusing on God's care for our past, what we have done that is not right in the sight of God. God says, make right. And then our protection, which is our future. Right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Focusing God's care for our future. And so, you recall when we were looking at this petition, give us this day our daily bread, we had two thoughts. We said, firstly, dependence, and secondly, delight. And I summarize it for you here. Right? Give us this, the bread of our necessity, the bread that suffices for each day, in other words. This is a prayer for God to take care of our physical needs. May our Heavenly Father supply and furnish our needs. The bread that we need, do give to us today and day after day. It is a prayer acknowledging God as the sustainer of our physical well-being. The emphasis is on the action of God supplying. And this is a prayer for God to provide food on the table for our meal. And that's the purpose of our labor. For it can be a prayer that we can take for granted. When we have ample material supply. And so God warned Israel that when you have entered the land, the promised land, the land that is filled with milk and honey, and God were to supply you and nourish you, don't forget Him. And oftentimes you find that His people has their senses numbed. Once, you know, God would give them more. And so we have to learn right from the beginning. When we begin work, God says, give your tithe, give your 10%. Remember to do that. If you are doing that when you are earning $1,000 salary, and faithfully, when you are earning a $10,000 salary, then you said, but my needs are more. I have more commitments. How can I do that? That's where we begin to rob God. And therefore, the Lord tells us that we are to know that all that we have comes from God. Do not forget. Do not forget. And then God had to take away. Then we are awakened. Then we ask ourselves, how come? Why like that? Have you forgotten Him? The source of your blessing? And so, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it is to acknowledge our dependence upon God. and that He is the one who supplies us. And when we enjoy it, we know that it's from Him. So this prayer is to acknowledge our dependence upon God and thanksgiving, for He's the supplier of all our needs. I recall when we were studying this, this was what we went through. And this is what Solomon is saying here. You are to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Remember to trace it to the giver. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." And so, in that dependence, we are delighted because we see the glory of God manifested in our lives. Because we pray this prayer and how God is faithful to provide for us. And therefore, it is a joy to ask God to provide, knowing that He does because He loves us. And this prayer teaches us to love God and to delight in the giver, that He surely will give us the desires of our heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "And He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." How do you delight? Love the giver. So the trouble we have is that we are attracted to God because of the gift. The natural man seeks God because of his gift. If he seeks just the gift, then he misses the essence of godliness. Not because God is going to bless us, but He wants to make us like Him. You see. So the Apostle Paul understood this when he encouraged the believers, or the Apostle Peter, when he encouraged the believers to delight in God, and he testified, "Whom having not seen ye loved, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You have tasted of the goodness of God by faith." And then he tells us the second thought. The fruit of honest labor is God's gift, not only for your enjoyment, but for your comfort. Verse 20. "For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." You recall, after the fall of man, the ground is cursed. He has to till the ground all his life to fill his hungry stomach. And that's the gist of what Genesis 3:17 to 19 says. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field in the sweat of thy face." Not so easy to pick the fruit. You have to compete with the thorns and the thistles. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So the toil and the labor, the sweat of the brow, this is the plight of fallen men. If you ask any worker, any employer alike, whether you are a worker, whether you are an employer, they would tell you, there's no escape to the work that is to be done. And he just have to courageously do his duty. And the days of one's life can be hard, or is hard. That's what the first part of verse 20 means. "For he shall not much remember the days of his life. Right? Remember the days of toil. But God has deemed it fit that man should with joy and gladness enjoy the fruit of his labor. This is his comfort amidst the toil. Right? You're going to have to labor hard. And it's true. Morning, you wake up early and you're out in the office, and only in the evening time do you return. Long day's work. But you receive something. God will bless you with increase. When Israel possessed the promised land, they are a witness for the Lord. And he sought to bless the labor of their hands. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 to 12, he says, "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hands unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy hand in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Solomon experienced this during the time of his reign. But after that, it was no more. Because Israel, during the time of Solomon, rejected God. And God said that I will not rend the kingdom during the days of your presence. But after you go, your kingdom will be rent into two. This was God's judgment. And we will turn away from God. God's people are cared for by the Good Shepherd. More than material blessing, God gives his people gladness in their heart and a good night's rest. If you look at the contrast between the earlier verses and this, you will be able to see when the people of God abide with him, follow him, walk with him, and you will experience his blessings. Psalm 4, verses 6 to 8. "There be many that said, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine is increased." Right? Our life with God is not measured by material things. It's measured by the peace and the joy that God puts in our heart. And God wants us to know, right, that these are those things that truly counts. Because if you place your heart on any other thing, you'll find that you'll be disappointed, as what we have saw, what we have seen, right, in verses 7 to 17, right, that riches has wings. Now you have it. Now you don't have it. You can have it and you can lose it. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." God's people can safely trust in him. And this is the experience of God's people throughout the ages, God's blessing, as they depend on him he never failed them. We were studying in the book of Genesis the life of Jacob. How God blessed him when he had nothing. He covenanted with God. And he would not let go until God would bless him. He clinged on. He wants God to bless him. He knows that there is no other way. As Peter said to Jesus, "Where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Nowhere else. The people who have been fed the bread, the 5,000 who were fed, and after Jesus stopped feeding, they all went away. They didn't understand that he is the bread from heaven, the living bread. When you have him, you have life, because he is the supplier of all bread. Right? May the good Lord cause his people to bless his name and walk with him. Will he not take care of us? Surely he will take care of us, right? Should we forget him? We must not forget him. We must remember him. We must bless his name daily. Delight in him and enjoy him, because he is worthy of our worship for who he is. And that's why he would like us to be a witness for him. If you have experienced the blessing of God in your life, then tell it to someone else, so that they too may be able to enjoy this good God that has blessed you. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy word through Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. As he considers life with God, O Lord, what blessing we have beheld out of thy good word. May thou help us to remember what thou hast taught us, and be willing to courageously labor and toil on, and to have that spiritual contentment to be grateful and thankful for all that God has given to us, our lot in life. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.